Okay, now we've been reading James. We've been reading slowly through James. And when we read through one of the books of the Bible like this, we have to deal with everything. We can't skip anything. So the place that we're up to is James chapter 3 and verse 13. James chapter 3 and verse 13. So I'll read these five or six verses. James 3, verse 13. If you've got your Bible, you can follow it. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So clearly the topic is very plain, isn't it? The topic is wisdom. So the first, we have some questions we need to ask if we're going to look at the subject of wisdom. And these are the questions. The first question is, what is wisdom? Everybody knows the word wisdom, but what does it actually mean? The second question is, where do we see wisdom? Where do we find it? How do you identify it? And the third question, the most important perhaps, is how do you get wisdom? How do you become wise? Okay, so let's look at the first question. What is wisdom? We live in a unique age where information abounds. Normally, you think of information being in, well, in the old days, you thought of information in libraries. Nowadays, we don't think like that. Where do you find information now? The internet, yeah. And the amount of information that's being added to the internet every day is just mind-boggling. Never before in human history have we had access to so much information. Humanity has never experienced this before. But what do you do with information? Just information is nothing. You need knowledge. You've got to actually get that information into you. I know all the information is out there, but to actually learn and to get knowledge is something different. It's all very well to say the answers on the internet, but what is the answer? I have to find it and then know it. So we've got information, and with information we can get to knowledge, but then what do we do with knowledge? And that's the issue. What we do with knowledge is wisdom. You can have a lot of knowledge but no wisdom. You can have a lot of wisdom but not very much knowledge. But wisdom is the thing that we're speaking about today. There's a saying I heard once talking about the day in which we're now living, which says, so much information, so little knowledge. So much knowledge, so little wisdom. We need wisdom more than we need knowledge. Okay. What's the value of wisdom? A lot of people know the value of knowledge. You know, they go to university, they study, they do all sorts of courses, they do all sorts of research to try and get knowledge. Knowledge is valuable. Without knowledge, you don't know, you know, you can't do very much, can you? We need some knowledge. We need an education. But so we know the value of knowledge. But what's the value of wisdom? Is it useful to be wise? Is it good to be wise? You can ask another question. What's the value of foolishness? Would you rather be wise or a fool? Which do you think would be better? You got an opinion? It's an easy one to answer, isn't it? Who wants to be a fool? Nobody wants to be a fool. Who wants to be wise? How much do you value wisdom? In the scripture, as we're going to see, wisdom is given a great deal of value. And if we're going to really be wise, we have to value wisdom. We have to recognize the value of wisdom. But there are two types of wisdom, and that's what James is speaking about. Remember, as we read this, he said this wisdom doesn't come from above, and then he talked about the wisdom which is from above. So there are two types of wisdom, and what James says is there's the wisdom of this world which doesn't come from heaven, and he says that wisdom is earthly, that is, it belongs down here, not heaven. It's sensual or natural. That means it just comes out of what you are as a natural person. But he also says that it's demonic or devilish. Now that sounds really harsh, to say that earthly wisdom is actually demonic. That means it relates to demons or Satan. Why would he say that? This is actually something that the Lord Jesus said. You know, when he was talking to the Jewish people, the Jewish people who he was talking to said, Abraham is our father. We're descended from Abraham. So they were saying, you know, we're pretty special because we're children of Abraham, and Abraham was chosen by God. And what Jesus answered them was, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Why did he say that? He said it because the way they were behaving was what you could say, what they were doing is what Satan would also do. He wasn't saying that they were demon-possessed or anything like that, but he said the way they were thinking, their reasoning, their wisdom was from the devil. It was his wisdom, not God's wisdom. Jesus said to them, you're seeking to kill me, a man who told you the truth. He said, Abraham never did that. You're not like Abraham. Who are you like? They said, we're children of Abraham, so we're like Abraham. He said, no, you're not like Abraham. You're actually like Satan. So this is a real caution for us, that if we don't have the wisdom which he describes as from above, the wisdom out of heaven, then whose wisdom do we have? We have our wisdom. We have the wisdom that's natural, that's earthly. But whose wisdom is it? Not God's. So that's the caution. So the wisdom that's from above, from heaven, is the opposite. It's not earthly, it's heavenly. It's not natural. It's spiritual, and it's not demonic. It's godly. It's of God. So another easy question, whose wisdom? Which wisdom do you want? We say we want wisdom. Which sort of wisdom? Because wisdom, there are two types of wisdom, the wisdom of the world and the wisdom which is from above. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 8, in Luke chapter 16 and verse 8, the Lord Jesus told a story, and I won't read the whole story, but the story was of a man who was going to lose his job, so he did something that was essentially dishonest to look after himself. And what Jesus said in verse 8, he said, this man's master commended him. He was unjust, but he commended him because he'd been, well, my Bible says he dealt shrewdly. But it's the same word that's used for wisdom in other places. And then Jesus said, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd or wise in their generation than the sons of light." So you can find that the people of this world, a person who's not a Christian, who doesn't care about anything like that, and he just focuses upon looking after himself, that person can be cleverer in the world than somebody who's a Christian, that's for sure. And this man who is unjust, who did something which is dishonest, is actually more clever or more wise for looking after himself in the world than a godly person would be. What's translated in my Bible as shrewd, and in most other translations is shrewd, it's exactly the same word that Jesus used when he told about the foolish man who built his house on the sand and the wise man who built his house on the rock. It's the same word. The wise man, here they said the shrewd man, because they wanted us to understand that it isn't real wisdom that this man has. It's not the wisdom that's from above. It's worldly wisdom. So they translated it with a word that sort of says, yeah, he's cunning, he's clever, but he's not really truly wise. So where do we see wisdom? This is another principle. Where do we see wisdom? Is wisdom found in what you think? Or is wisdom found in what you say? Or is wisdom found in what you do? Easy. Joseph. Answer is? All of them? Well, I'm going to say the answer is this one. Why? Because if you think wisdom but speak foolishness, what's the good of it? If you think wisdom and speak wisdom but act stupidly, what's the good of it? It's kind of like, yes, we need to think wisely. Yes, we need to speak wisely. Yes, we need to do wisely. And it's in the doing that the truth or the proof of the wisdom is. And this is exactly what James said in the first verse that we read, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. It's in what you do that your true wisdom is seen. Do you agree with that? That seem right to you? You can talk to me. I'm talking to you. You can talk to me. No, I disagree, somebody said. Nobody said? It's in your conduct that the wisdom has to sort of come down from the head, mouth, hands and feet, action. So James says, who is wise and understanding? Put your hand up if you're wise and understanding. You know, and if somebody might put their hand up and James would say, well, let me see it. Let me see it in your behaviour. Let me see it in how you conduct yourself, in what you do, in how you live, in the decisions that you make from day to day. Let me see your wisdom there. Don't just say you got it here. Let me see it in action. That's the critical thing. It's very similar, isn't it, to what we talked about a month ago when he said faith without works is dead. If you say you believe, but we can't see your faith in how you live, then where is the faith? The faith's not there. It's a pretending faith. If you've got a Sunday morning faith, but not a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday faith, then where is the faith? It has to be real. And wisdom is the same. Okay, so we said there are two types of wisdom. The first is earthly, sensual, demonic. And what James says is, I'm looking at your behaviour. And he says, if you have envy, and if you're selfish or self-seeking, if that's what's in your heart, then don't boast that you're wise. Don't boast that you've really learned something and you're really wise. Because where that is, there is confusion and everything evil. So what he was saying to the people that he's writing to, what's in your heart? Because if this is in your heart, then that's not wisdom. If you're really selfish, well, there's a certain way of thinking that's made you selfish. That's your wisdom. Your wisdom is being produced by how you're acting. If you're envious of other people, oh, I want what they've got. I wish I was them, or I wish I looked like them, or I wish people liked me as much as they like them. If that sort of stuff is in your heart, there's a certain wisdom that's behind that, but it's not the wisdom that's from above. That's what he's saying. But there's the other sort of wisdom, the wisdom that's from above. And of this wisdom, he has something much better to say. And this is in verse 17 and 18. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, when you read that, it actually seems a bit hard. Because you say, gentle wisdom? Gentle wisdom? Does that make sense? Can you think of wisdom being gentle? You think of wisdom being wisdom, but you think of a person being gentle. So why does he write it like that? Obviously, the answer is he writes it like that because this wisdom that's from above is seen in what you do. It makes the person. Our wisdom shapes us. So if you've got heavenly wisdom, then that's going to be seen in how you live. Put it the other way around. If we look at how you live, we can see what sort of wisdom you've got. Get the idea? So he says the wisdom that's from above will make a person, first of all, pure. That's a bit hard. What does he mean by pure? Does he mean they'll be completely pure and without sin at all? No, that's not what he's saying. Because, we'll look at it again in a minute, but what he said at the beginning of the scripture was, at the beginning of this letter, what he said was he spoke about somebody who is double-minded. Double-minded means I want to go this way, but I also want to go that way. I can't make up my mind which way I want to go or what I want to do. I'm sort of caught between two things. So there are some people who are double-minded in their faith. They say, I believe in Jesus. But then 5 minutes later, they're doing something which is quite contrary to him. Well, do you believe? Well, yeah, I do, but double-minded. And if you're double-minded, then you're unstable. You're not reliable. You're not going to go in one direction, and we can't depend upon you always going in one direction. You're going to change direction all the time because you're double-minded. So this purity is purity of intention. This is my direction. Doesn't mean I'm perfect and I've got it all together or anything like that, but I've made up my mind. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, then it's peaceable. That means it wants peace. And the opposite of what's the opposite of wanting peace? wanting war, wanting to fight, wanting to argue. No. This wisdom that's from above wants peace. It's peaceable. It's gentle, not rough. Willing to yield. Does that mean that it's going to give up the truth? No, doesn't mean that. If I say I believe in Jesus and somebody says, oh, no, that's all wrong, I say, okay, I'll agree with you then. Is that what it means? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is that I don't insist upon my own way. I'm not one of those people that forces everybody to do what I want. I'm willing to yield. I'd like to do this. You'd like to do that? Okay, let's do that. I'm not going to force you to do my thing. That's the wisdom that's from above. It's full of mercy. It doesn't rush to condemn. It doesn't rush to say, oh, you're wrong, you're wrong. It'd rather be merciful. And good fruits. We know what good fruit is, don't we? Love, joy, peace. These are good fruits. It's full of these. It's without partiality. James talked about that before as well. He talked about how the rich man comes to the meeting and the poor man comes to the meeting and everybody's interested in the rich man and doesn't care at all about the poor man. Being partial. This is my favourite. I don't like this one. Thankfully, the Lord Jesus was never partial. He doesn't have favourites. Wisdom that's from above makes a man who isn't partial, who doesn't have favourites. And he's not a hypocrite. You know what the word hypocrite comes from? It's in the original language of the Bible, the word hypocrite comes from actor. A hypocrite's an actor. He's pretending. He's acting one thing, but actually he's something else. You know, in the old days, people thought it was a sin to be an actor because they thought that you had to be true. You had to be yourself. And even actors on the stage sort of asked God's forgiveness before they went on stage. It's not very sincere, perhaps. But this idea that we must be real, we must be true to ourselves, not actors, is something that we kind of understand. All of us have been guilty of pretending. Of pretending that we're happy with somebody when really we're not. Or of pretending to like something when really we don't. But we don't like to see people pretending. And the wisdom that is from above, won't make us actors. It won't lead us into hypocrisy. It'll lead us into sincerity and genuineness. So, where do we see wisdom? Well, one of the places that we see wisdom in the Bible is with David, King David. We're going to see this a little later, but I've just put one quotation there, which is from Psalm 119. Who's memorized Psalm 119? I don't think anybody has. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. 176 verses. But in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. How would you like to be able to say that? Would you like to be able to say that? I have more understanding than all my teachers. You may not know as much as your teachers, but you could be wiser. David said, I have more understanding than my teachers. And I have more understanding than the ancients. I have more wisdom than those who've gone before me. And he says the reason is because I keep your law, because I listen to what you're saying. He's learning the wisdom which is from above, and that's made him very wise. But David's not the most famous person in the Bible for wisdom, is he? Who's the most famous person in the Bible for wisdom apart from the Lord? Starts with S. Solomon, yay. Who knows what that story is? Do you remember the story? This is an artist who's done it. I don't know whether it really looked like this, but a dead baby. Two women. A living baby. Remember the story? And they came before Solomon. One baby had died in the night, and one woman had swapped the baby over. And then there was an argument. The living one, whose baby is this? And they came before Solomon, and each one said, "It's mine, it's mine." And Solomon had to decide. And Solomon said, "Bring a sword and cut the baby in half and let it neither be one nor the other. We'll have two dead babies then." And this woman said, "Yes, cut it in half so it's not mine or hers." And this woman said, no, give it to the other woman. And Solomon said, "Don't touch the baby, she's the mother." Remember that? Wonderful wisdom. And it says, and all Israel saw that the wisdom of God was in him. And why was Solomon so wise? Because Solomon went to God and said, "Lord, give me wisdom. Because I have this responsibility as king over your people, the one thing I need is wisdom." And he valued wisdom so much that he said, "This before everything else, this is what I need." And so we see wisdom in Solomon. But, of course, where else do we see wisdom? We see wisdom in the Messiah. Now this, from Isaiah chapter 11, is written 700 years before Jesus was born. And it's speaking about the Messiah who is going to come. And it says of him, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding." That's the first thing. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So this is the prediction. This is the prophet speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus hundreds of years before he came and saying, what are you going to see in Jesus? Or rather, he's saying, the prophet was saying, when the Messiah comes, what are you going to see in him? And the answer is, you're going to see wisdom in him. So when the Lord Jesus came and was born in Bethlehem, when he was just a very young child, it says in Luke chapter 2, the family returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. How about that? We're talking about a young child. This is speaking about when the child is maybe 2 or even 3 years old, something like that. And this child, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, is described as filled with wisdom. Is he not a child? Yes, he's a child. Doesn't he play? Yes, he plays. He's a child. He's a real child. He's not a pretending child. Some people imagine that the Lord Jesus, when he was a little boy, was just pretending to be a little boy, but actually inside he was an adult. No. He was a little boy. He would play like a little boy. But even at that age, they said he was filled with wisdom. What a wonderful thing. And then in Luke's gospel also, we have that little window into the life of the Lord Jesus when he was 12 years old. Remember? And he went to Jerusalem and he talked with the learned doctors, the not medical doctors, the doctors of theology. All the wise men were gathered there who understood the scripture, and this 12-year-old boy walks up to them and begins to speak to them. And they ask him questions, because that's the way they teach. They ask questions and he answers, and then normally what would happen is that answer would be corrected or improved or added to, and this is the way they would teach. So they ask the Lord Jesus questions, and this 12-year-old boy answers, and they're kind of, huh? Such a good answer. So wise. So clear. This was him. And so it says, this 12-year-old boy returned to Nazareth from Jerusalem and was subject to his parents, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. Stature means he grew taller, and in favour with God and man. He grew physically, but before that it says he increased in wisdom. Was he ever foolish? No. He was never a fool and had to learn wisdom, but it says this child from a young age grew and increased in wisdom. And when we see this in the Lord Jesus, doesn't it tell us the sort of thing that we should be also seeking? That should be important for us? If the Lord Jesus is characterized by wisdom, what do we want to be characterized by? Do we want to be fools? No. We want to be wise and live a life that's governed by this wisdom. So that leads us to the big question. How do you get wisdom? How do you become wise? So, what does James say? Well, we go to James chapter 1. And verse 5, very clear, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There's a promise. Do you lack wisdom? Ask God for wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? The true wisdom comes from God. So where do you go to get wisdom? You go to God to get wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, which means freely, and without reproach. The Lord doesn't blame us for not having much wisdom. He doesn't say, what are you? No, he gives freely. But then he goes on and says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. And then he says, because if you're doubting, you're double-minded. So in other words, what he's saying is, if you're going to go to God and ask for wisdom, be sincere about it. Be genuine about it. Do you really want wisdom? If you really want wisdom, seek it from God. That's what James says. What does Solomon say? Solomon, in chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, and this is worth opening up. Open up your Bible. Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Solomon says, get wisdom. Solomon wrote these Proverbs. And the first four or five chapters of the book of Proverbs are all about wisdom. So, Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, or I give you good teaching. Do not forsake my law. Now listen to this, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, He also taught me and said to me, who was Solomon's father?
David.
So he's talking here about David. He said, when I was my father's son, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother. So he's just a little kid and he's learning from daddy. Daddy is King David. What did David say to him? Verse 4, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Never forget what I'm telling you. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, her being wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. What did David say to Solomon when he was a little kid? David said to Solomon, get wisdom, get understanding. So what should we as parents say to our children when they're old enough? Get wisdom. It matters so much. Get wisdom, get understanding. That's what David taught Solomon. And then when Solomon, as a young man, became king, he went to the Lord, like James said, and said, give me wisdom. And God gave him wisdom, great wisdom. So that's what James says, ask God. What does Solomon say? Well, he learned it from his father David. Get wisdom, get understanding. And so we have a number of proverbs that Solomon's written and David's written. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honour is humility. We need humility to learn. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There's a message here, isn't there? Do you want wisdom? It begins with the fear of God. That doesn't mean being scared of God, like if he's really scary, but it means respecting God and listening to him. And knowing that if you neglect what God says, well, you're very foolish. But to hear him, to listen to him, to come to him and say, Lord, I need wisdom. Well, that's where wisdom begins. If you neglect God, then the only wisdom you'll have is the wisdom that's from the earth. You'll never have the wisdom that's from above. So how do we get wisdom? We all know this verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In the old days, there were no street lights. Oh, there were not that sort of thing. So if you were walking in the countryside or you're walking around at night, it's going to be very dark. And they didn't have torches like we have that can shine light so brightly. They just had lamps. Something like that sort of a lamp. And because the lamp wasn't very bright, they used to hang it on a string and hold it so it was down there, close to the path. And then they could walk. And as they walked, the path was clear. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When would you want a lamp for your feet and a light for your path? Would you want it while you're sitting at home? Of course not. The reason you'd want that lamp was if you're going somewhere. It's as simple and clear as that. If we're going somewhere, then we need this lamp. And the Word of God, the Scripture, is for those who want to walk with God. It's for those who want to grow It's not for people who don't want to do anything, who are have no plan to follow the Lord and to walk with him. The scripture is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's to take us somewhere. Okay, now we get down to the facts. How do we get wisdom? Wisdom is going to be found in the scripture. So we need to read the scripture. But the problem is, some people read the Bible, and some people have a very good habit. They read the Bible every day, but they don't know what they're reading. They don't understand what they're reading, but they read it. Well, we need to read it, but we need to read it to understand. So how are we going to do that? The scripture is not easy. There's some parts which are difficult, and it's difficult to follow some things. You read it and say, I don't know what that means. And that's going to be true for all of our life. So we need to read it to understand it. So we read a little bit, but we don't understand. What are we going to do now if we don't understand? What do you do? What do you do when you read the scripture but you don't understand it? Well, one of the things that we can do is ask. We can ask the Lord for understanding, but we can also talk to others about it. It's a very simple method. You know, if we talked about the scripture more, we would understand more. And the wonderful thing about the scripture is the more you understand, the more you understand. As simple as that. It's kind of like building. You build one block upon another block upon another block. The more you understand, the more you will understand as you read it. So we need to get into the habit of talking about it, of being able to say to whoever, you might say to your husband or to your wife, or you might say to your parents, or you might say to your brother or sister, or you might say to an uncle you know, or somebody, you might say, I read this, but I don't understand what it means. Does it mean that, or does it mean this? And talk about it. And by simply talking about it, you'll learn about it. So that's the first thing. Read to understand. Do you have somebody to ask? Who would you go to if you didn't understand something in the Bible that you read? What would you do? Who would you go to? Is there somebody? If there isn't somebody, then I'll give you my email address and you can write to me. And you can ask me and we can try and work it out together. It's simple. Let's read to understand. And when we've read it and understood what the scripture said, the next thing we must do is believe it. It's no good saying, I've read it, and then sort of shrugging and saying, but I don't know. We need to, the next thing is to get hold of it and to believe what the scripture says. Because if we don't believe it, then, well, what have we got? We've got nothing. And what's the third thing? Really easy. You've read it, you've understood it, you've believed it. Now what? Do it. Yeah, live it. Yeah, put it into action. If it's the sort of thing you can put into action, but be prepared to live. Because you'll find that what the Lord teaches you is that which you can live. And not very often, when you learn something new, very soon you get the opportunity to live it. Now we said, how do you get wisdom? This is how you get wisdom. You get wisdom by reading the scripture, by understanding it piece by piece, not all at once, little bit by little bit, believing what you've seen, and then living it. There was a famous author in the some years ago who wasn't a Christian, and somebody said to him, how much of the Bible do you understand? This was Mark Twain, for those who know Mark Twain. They said to him, how much of the Bible do you understand? And he said, not very much, but what I believe makes, but what I do know, he said, makes me sweat. In other words, I only understand a little bit of it, but boy, if that's true, then he was sweating because he didn't believe it. You know, but if it was true, it worried him. Well, at least he was taking it seriously. We need to read to understand, believe what we've read, believe what we've understood, and then live it. And we will find that this will produce in us the wisdom which is from above. And that wisdom will be seen in how we live. And people will start to come to you and ask you for advice or counsel. People will say, oh yeah, I know her. Yeah, she's really wise. Where did this wisdom come from? From above. It came from above. So what's the conclusion of the matter? Who said this?
David.
Spot on. David. This is written by Solomon in the book of Proverbs. But that's the verse, we didn't read this verse, it's the next verse. David said to Solomon when he was a kid, get wisdom, he said, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the main thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, you're going to get a lot of stuff in life, in all you're getting, get understanding. So where does this bring us? Is this practical? It is. If we're going to take heed to the scripture, if in this point we can understand what the scripture is saying, the scripture is saying that wisdom matters. Heavenly wisdom matters. And if we're going to respond to this as we ought, then the response is, wisdom matters to me. And I want wisdom. And I am going to seek God for wisdom. And I'm going to value wisdom more than anything else. You know, it's very, if you read it in Proverbs there, it's lovely what he says. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. This is what the scripture is saying about wisdom. And if we're going to say, yes, I've learned that, then we're going to be saying, for me, wisdom is the principal thing. I need to have wisdom. I need to have my life shaped by wisdom. I need to have my conduct governed by my wisdom. I need the words that come out of my mouth to come out from wisdom. I need to speak wisdom. I need to think wisdom. But above all, I need to live wisdom. That's what the scripture's saying. And that's what James has said to us. Let me see your wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. James understood that. Let us also understand it. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for wisdom. And Lord, I just trust that today, with me, I seek you for wisdom, Lord. I want that wisdom that's from above. I want that discernment, that understanding. I want to know the right path. I want to know what matters and what doesn't matter, what's important and what's not important. I want to know, Lord, the way of wisdom. I don't want to live as a fool. I don't want to act as a fool. I don't want to have a life which is just foolishness. Lord, teach me wisdom. And I pray, Lord, that there'd be many of us here in this room who are praying the same prayer. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. I want wisdom. Lord, I pray that you'd work this in all of us. And we ask it because you're faithful. And you said, If anyone lacks wisdom, and we all lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, we're asking. Grant us wisdom and guide our life in the wise way. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Any thoughts, comments, questions, challenges? Solomon had wisdom given to him from God, but we all know that Solomon went badly wrong later in his life. Why did he go wrong? He went wrong because he began to disobey the Lord. Remember, David said, "I have wisdom because I obey your commands." We said the way to get wisdom is to learn what God says, believe it, and do it. And Solomon, because of his wives and his compromises, he began, I'm sure he had a guilty conscience, he went against the wisdom which he knew, and therefore he became exceedingly foolish in his old life. Perhaps it tells us something else, that even a man with great wisdom needs something more if he's going to live a righteous and rock-solid life. And what would that something more be? To be the indwelling Spirit of God. If he doesn't know Christ within, then the wisest man on earth will fail.
When you say the life of Solomon, you know, a man that with great wisdom, just start with, I'm sure you asked that from the Lord when he was young, before all the glamour of life came upon him. I think it applies a lot to us these days. I guess we are facing a lot of temptations and like information bombarded at us, especially younger age. We didn't grow up the way they did, but it's a challenge as parents understand them as well. They should. I think Solomon's life for me is a reflection of that challenge today, I think. We think there's a warning. Like if you have access to the Bible, you have all this information, but you really, like Solomon, you know, he enjoyed women for sure. Maybe it was great, I'm pretty sure. A lot of things in life is great to enjoy.
Yeah.
In Australia, there's no persecution, and I think my everything is really great. But I think, how do we, even though we read the Bible every day, still, we know that we're not everything that's like what you show on the record says, right? But we actually, you know, we've been through some experience, we learn how to act. And, like, still you find yourself sometimes will just go off track. Yeah. So I think it's a great challenge, it's a very practical.
Yeah, because we go off track sometimes, what would a wise person do who's gone off track? Yeah, yeah. And the big thing is that the scripture doesn't say to us, I expect you to be perfect overnight. What we're called to is to be students of God, to be enrolled in the school of Christ. And, you know, when we're in school, we get some things right and some things wrong, but we're learning. And getting things wrong is part of the learning process sometimes, in as much, not that we deliberately get things wrong, but it's one of the ways we learn is by making mistakes. So it's not an encouragement to make mistakes, but it just means that making mistakes are not fatal. All of us will have the experience of going wrong, and that doesn't end when you get to a certain age or something like that. To our dying day, we need to be watchful, vigilant, and maintaining the same humility and the same faith, the same willingness to put things right. I mean, I heard a definition of what is a mature How do you identify a mature Christian? And the answer was, they are easy to correct. A mature Christian is easy to correct. He doesn't resist correction and say, no, I'm right, you're wrong. Or he doesn't, if he's old man, he doesn't say, who are you to tell me what, Maturity, that is true wisdom, is easily corrected because a person has learned that humility is so important and knows that they always lack that perfect wisdom that they desire. And they know their frailty there are many temptations, there are many things that assail us, there are many things that make life difficult and we easily go wrong, but what do we do when we wake up to ourselves? That's the issue. Are we too proud to get corrected? Or what? Wisdom says, come back and learn. That's what I understand. Okay. I think we would really like to have morning tea now.